vote on hitting the angel's finger with the hammer. Eddie's got his hand up, right? Okay. Okie dokie. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. And Lord, it's just an amazing, amazing book. And I just pray that you'd help us to understand some of the words. Here's some things a fella said back in Iraq many years ago, but amazingly, it is pertinent to these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would, Ezekiel 28, and then if you'd grab Isaiah 23... Not at the same time, because you can't do it at the same time, but you can flip back and forth. Okay, in Ezekiel 20, see, Bryce is mad. He's afraid we're going to hit his finger with the hammer. In Ezekiel 26, you have seven chapters in a row now that God gave Ezekiel information about the devil and or the Antichrist. So he's running seven in a row, 26 to 32. Okay, anybody, any preacher that teaches about what they commonly call demonology or devils, whatever, will run you to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 for descriptions of the of Lucifer and or the original creation of Lucifer. So that's a good place to run. Okay, but 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, hike. There you got seven chapters in a row about the devil, okay, and or the Antichrist. And Ezekiel was given these ideas on three different times where God gave it to him when he was in Babylon. Now, Isaiah 23 uses the word tyre, T-Y-R-E. That's how they spell the word tyre in Australia. Okay, the tyre shop is T-Y-R-E in Australia. Here we do it with the I. Tyre and Tyrus seem to be the same location. And it's a little bit confusing because some of the history, obviously history repeats itself. And if you look at the footnote of chapter 23, if you have a good reference Bible, I write in there that it seems to me, and I'm not going to be dogmatic on it, that Tyre and Tyrus, modern-day Tyrus is Lebanon. So it's just north of Israel, Muslim territory. But you'll see, if you read it very closely, it will seem to switch from an island to a shoreland, so like Lebanon, back and forth. And in the, in the Ezekiel, he uses the word replenish. So that could go back to Adam's days when you see a word like that connected there. Has anybody ever wondered where the name for the Atlantic Ocean came from? And the city in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, any people that are really understanding of history and they go back into history, talk about the lost city of Atlantis. Does that ring a bell with some folks? The lost city of Atlantis. That's where the Atlantic Ocean's name originates from. And if you read the stories about Atlantis, I write some of it in the footnote of chapter 23. And reading the Bible, this should kind of perk up our thoughts. Okay, I write that Tyre seems or could be the lost city of Atlantis, which could have been the place where Satan ruled during that gap time period. Okay, where in Isaiah 23 it's referred to as an island. But you'll see at the end of verse 2 the word replenished in Isaiah 23. In Ezekiel 26 verse 2 you also see the word replenished. So that's not found too many times in the Bible. Okay, anybody would understand why God would tell Noah to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, right? That's a no-brainer. Replenish means to fill it up again. He said that to Noah. That's a no-brainer because it was filled before Noah. But he said the same thing to Adam. Now that's confusing if you don't believe the English words. All the new Bibles change it to fill. Okay, and a fellow years ago, a friend that, you know, he didn't hold to the gap idea, and he told me that, okay, I understand the word plenish means to fill, but replenish means to refill, fill up again. He said, you know, if I'd see that in a dictionary, I'd probably believe it. So I whipped out my Oxford dictionary, and I said, looky, there's plentish. That means to fill. Then we went to the R's, replenish, and so he still didn't want to believe it after he committed like that. That little booger. Okay, so it looks to me that the lost paradise or the lost city of Atlantis was when Satan ruled, okay, as second in command. Atlantis, okay, I'm just taking information from them. Atlantis was known for its practice of a bull cult, B-U-L-L as in papal bull, as in holy cow. Okay, it was also known for its colossal statues and pyramids. The pyramid probably would be flat at the top where they could sacrifice humans. Okay, and the pyramids could serve as a place of worship. Winged serpent-like men of renown promised wisdom through the sacrifice of children. Okay, in Atlantis. This is what historians say. Doesn't that kind of alert us to something in the Bible? Did anybody see that recent clip with AOC, that, you know, little thing out of New York where this woman from Sweden gets up and says, we need to save the climate. We need to eat the babies. We need to eat the babies. We need to eat the babies. She kept saying that over, and AOC's just like, I'm not hungry, you know. And that's what a Swedish professor is saying. In order to save the environment, we need to start eating the babies. And it's like, hello? But it is said that Atlantis collapsed in a single day and night. Okay, now I used the Revelation passage for that. It appears to me that as we learn from history, we don't learn from history and things repeat. So the lost city of Atlantis, up again, from all the connections, you got serpent, you've got a bull, you've got blood. Okay, that certainly sounds devilish to me. Okay, and so that's why God told Adam to replenish the earth, because something was here before that. Not man, per se, like us men and women. Okay, not like that, because it says Eve is the mother of all living, referring to flesh and blood people, but angels, fallen angels, demonic beings. Okay, and so now if you would start Ezekiel 26. So that seems, again, it seems to be the reign of Lucifer. So it says, and it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Okay, so he's saying this to Ezekiel. Remember, Ezekiel was a priest. He was taken captive to Babylon, the second military campaign. And the Lord said to him, son of man, because that Tyrus, okay, over in Isaiah, it's Tyre. And it's just a little side commercial I thought of here. In verse 3 of Isaiah 23, it mentions that Tyre is a mart of nations. Anybody know what a mart is? Kmart, food mart, mini mart, smoke mart. Okay, that is an uncommon word that we don't hear anymore. The King James is really out of date. Nobody knows and understands what that means anymore. Mart is a place of commerce. Satan will use a place of commerce or merchandise, another archaic word that only is found in the King James Bible. Nobody uses it anymore. Okay, is Satan's way of sidetracking people away from God. That is a very powerful way to sidetrack people. So that's Isaiah 23:3, and we're going to pick up two more of them in this chapter. And that's in the margins. I'll put archaic word that is common, because the scholars usually scoff the King James, say it's out of date. And so I'll take these words that we hear commonly that's only found in the King James Bible. So if I tell you, you know, head south, we know which way we're going, but Abraham headed Negev. That's what the New Bible is translate that for in Genesis 12. You said the New Bible is more understanding. Okay, then head to Negev. North, Negev, east, west. That's the New Bibles. Okay, so in verse 2, Son of man, because that Tyrus hath said against Jerusalem. Aha! She is broken that was the gates of the people. So historically, this would have been with Babylon conquering them. So Tyrus, whoever this is rejoicing in the fall of God's people, of God's city. They're getting a charge. They're getting a kick out of it. They like it. Aha, she is broken. That was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me, Tyrus. Jerusalem is turned unto Satan. I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. I'm getting my kingdom back. No, you're not. It depends when the time period is. Okay, where the devil will get his ball of wax going and then got to hit it. He did that at Calvary. He made a show openly of Satan, where Satan had his program full. It was running full steam at that time. And the Lord hit it. And then he had it going again during the Inquisition. It was full board, full steam ahead. Kill those believers. And then the Lord hit it again with the Reformation. And now here we are again. It's getting full board. And in the trib, it's going to be everybody is deceived. The whole world is deceived. And the Lord hits it with his coming. And then he throws the devil into hell for 1,000 years, and then the devil gets out. He only takes a couple months, and he's got a full board again, and the Lord hits him again. So this idea of replenished, okay, in verse 3, therefore thus saith the Lord God, because, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea cometh his waves to come up. Causes, as the sea causes his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. So there's off the shoreline of South America a location that has seemingly to remnants, some of the remnants of Atlantis. Okay, also over there by Africa, some feel that there's a place in the Sahara Desert that appears to be a location that's possible for this place. Okay, but the Lord said, I'm going to scrape her like dust. And then he says, it shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. So fishermen are going to go out there, throw their nets over this place. And the Lord just simply says, for I have spoken it. I've said it. Thus saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters which are in the field shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, so where you throw these some of these prophetic time periods, it's kind of tough to figure them out totally. In verse 7, he says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadrezzar," with an R, not the N. No different than spelling John or Jonathan or John or Johnny. Okay, king of Babylon, a king of kings. So now we are, okay, a king of kings, Daniel 2. But it says from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. From the north, but Babylon is east of this place. The only way to look at it is if he maybe swings around and comes from the north down south. Okay, I'm not sure about that. Unless Dubai might have a connection somehow in this. Modern day Dubai is the playground for the movers and shakers in the Muslim world. Dubai is a very wealthy, I mean, you almost have to be a millionaire just to live in the place. And it's a focal place now of airlines coming in, but it is high class. And a Jewish synagogue there is now going to build a building. They're going to put a building together there that's going to house a mosque, a synagogue, and a Catholic church. The Pope just signed that deal earlier this year. Man, that's exciting. Okay, so Dubai is, people don't realize, Saudi for some reason gets a pass from our government, but boy, those Saudi sheiks, they like, get some of these Christian girls out of Africa and they kidnap them, bring them up and then pervert the situation and then they run down to Dubai and they have their party times and everything. So Babylon is north of Dubai. So if this has got some prophetic things going into the tribe, I'm not sure. Unless Babylon swung around the north and came down and got them from that direction, Assyria or Lebanon. So in verse 8, he shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee and cause a mount against thee and lift up the buckler against thee. He shall set engines of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. Now engines, nobody, that's old. King James are really out of date. I don't think we hear that word anymore at all. Engines. It's so hard to understand these things. But there's another word. All the new Bibles change. And it said, by reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee, their walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen and of the wheels and of the chariots. When he shall enter into thy gates as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. So horses, I think the Soviet Union has the largest cavalry in the country. They still got horses. And so, if the electronic age, I don't know. I'm not sure how that would work on that, but... Since 1973 began to put all the electronic stuff in the cars, anything 72 and before, the authorities, the police have a device where they could, as you're driving, they could shut your car down by hitting the electronic thing and just microwave the computer. Okay, pre-72 they don't have that electronical thing, so you can wave at them to go by, but then when you do that, then they're going to come after you. What are you out doing on the road? Because it says in the song by Deborah in Judges 5 that the highways in Israel will be uninhabited in the trib. Why? Because what is the purpose of the interstate highways? It's moving the military. That's the number one reason for it. And so it's very easy to get people off the highways. In a snowstorm, we see it. The police will stand right there at the entrance ramp. Okay, and that's what the highways are for in Israel. It's to move the military. And so nobody will be out in the streets during the trib in Israel. So this is the reasons of these things. So this is could be why they go back the horses. You know, it doesn't appear to me that they have to shut down the entire grid because they got to somehow get to people through their cell phones so they could tell them what to do because everybody's now hooked on the cell phone. But yet they could shut down electronically a certain area, a certain grid, and then the horses would be able to come in spite of what's going on. So verse 11, with the hooves of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets, and he shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrisons shall go down to the ground. Now, I've never witnessed it, but I've had people tell me, like in Washington, D.C., there are many police officers that ride horses. And when they have a protest or something going on, a demonstration, those officers can be out there with that horse, and those horses are trained. And they can stomp and move people. Okay, the ones that have seen it, it is just amazing the strength of what those horses can do. And those horses will just charge into battle because that's what they're trained to do. And in Job, it's funny, it says that the horse laughs in the battle. That's where we get the common saying, that's a horse laugh. You find that in Job. Okay, and so in verse 12, and they shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey of thy merchandise. There's a King James only word. They shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease. Oh, what kind of music are they playing? In Exodus 32, Joshua said that the noise sounds like war, but it sounds like music. So there's the kind of music that will be influencing people. I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harp shall no more be no more heard. I will make thee like the top of a rock, and thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon it. Thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus. Okay, so Tyrus. Let's jump to chapter 28 and see why I make this connection with Tyrus to do something to do with Lucifer, the devil. Okay, in chapter 28... you'll see in verse 2, this one is called the Prince of Tyrus. And he says, the Prince of Tyrus says, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. Okay, then down in verse 12, he's called a King of Tyrus. And whoever this king is, he was in the Garden of Eden, verse 13. So you got two choices there. Adam and the serpent. Okay, and then he's called a cherub. Okay, so Adam's out. And the only one that can miss that is the scholars. Okay, so there's the connection I get with that. So it's 26, 27, 28. All somehow connected with Satan. And we serve such a powerful God. When you run back to Job 41, he likens Lucifer to a fish where God puts a worm on a hook and he throws it out in the lake. The worm is man. And he sets the hook in Leviathan and he reels him in. And he says he's like a bird in your hand. A lot of people think it's a struggle between God and it. There's no struggle. None whatsoever. Okay, the Lord is using him as a tool to find out who's sincere, who's honest, who humbly seeks after God. That's the purpose of him. Okay, so let's see, 15. Thus saith the Lord to Tyrus, shall not the isles shake at the sound of thy fall when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Okay, his fall would be Isaiah 14. Okay, in Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Okay, all the new Bibles take Lucifer out, put either day star in or morning star in to replace it. Okay, and then in verse 16 of Isaiah 14, when they see Lucifer being thrown into hell, the people who see it, who witness it, they say, is this the man? Because he shapeshifts into appearance of man. Now, you know, you tell that to some folks, they're shocked. And Paul said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's nothing to be marveling about. If you read pagan mythology, these are what pagan gods did for eons of time. So it's just that believers don't read their Bible much, and it becomes a shocking thing. So in verse 16, then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their embroidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. They shall take up a lamentation. They've seen the top dog. Dog is God spelled backwards. So it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're seeing him taken down, and that's news to them. If he's going down, who are we? We're going down too. See, anybody see that? I saw Sam Hitter. Somebody needs to call welfare, Child Protective Services. So verse 17, they shall take a lamentation for thee and say to thee, how art thou destroyed? Thou wast inhabited of seafaring men, the renowned city. There's a renown is the word for famous. Okay, I don't have the cross reference there. I think it's Numbers 13, if I get it real quick. Wrong. Okay, so you look up the word renowned. So renowned, look that up, and you'll find it's in Numbers where it's right next to the word famous. Men of renown. So that's the word that we use, famous. It's the renowned city. It's a famous city. Which was strong in the sea. She and her inhabitants which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it. Oh, this time of year where that... Nobody hears that word anymore, this time of year. Haunt? That's an out-of-date word. King James, so hard to understand. It's so in the past. Okay, terror. Who made that word popular? George W. He made that word popular. Okay, terror. That is connected to Lucifer. That's how you control people, by fear. So which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it. Haunted house. Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Isaiah 14. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God. Okay, departure, death. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee. Okay, that right there, the deep upon thee, sounds a little bit like Genesis 1-2 to me, where the waters and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis 1-2. Where there's no mention of the creation of water, so obviously it was created somewhere in there. Okay, so what was created by Genesis 1-2? Well, you've got angels, you've got Lucifer, you've got water, you've got things going up that show up that it doesn't say anything when they were created. The angels are created in the creation, according to Job. Okay, so the deep in, within context, the deep can be the sea, Mediterranean Sea, or the ocean, but it also within context can be like the entire container, not the universe per se, but the earth itself and the surroundings of the earth. Okay. And then it says, and great waters shall cover thee. Oh no, global warming is going to flood us out. Yeah, the global warming is going to be one of them seal judgments when the sun gets turned up. Okay, so you got in verse 19, you got the deep, and I run that back to Genesis 1. And then the great waters, I also run that back to Genesis 1. And the waters then are, according to Job, I think it's Job 38, has a boundary put where the water cannot come outside the bounds. So, okay, great waters shall cover thee. And then it says, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit. Okay, so that throws us back to Isaiah 14. The bottomless pit, it's in the nether parts. That's a term that years ago I heard a guy say about the nether parts. And I was thinking, nether parts? That ain't a Bible word. Well, yeah, it is. I just forgot about it. Yeah, it's in Ezekiel. It's in these seven chapters. The nether parts is where the bottomless pit is located. And where is it located? Verse 20, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit with the people of old time. Old time? Noah's flood. Where the people, because of the flood, were destroyed and they went to hell. They were thrown. They didn't have the sense of coming out of the rain. And shall set thee in the low parts of the earth. Low parts. Where in the Ten Commandments, he said, don't make a graven image. And then it says, under the earth. Now, Jesus will call it the heart of the earth, but it's under the earth. Okay, so which is also called the heart of the earth. So, you know, if a person wants to go either way on that with believing it's flat, it's below, or they want to throw in the sphere idea, scientists will say inside the earth it's hot. Either way, a person can say, hey, it's hot below our feet. And that's where the bottomless pit's at. But it shall set thee in the low parts of the earth in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited. And I shall set glory in the land of the living. Okay, the land of the living, Jerusalem, because that's the one he was rejoicing is going to be destroyed, verse 2. And then it says, I will make thee a terror. So there's that modern word again. Okay, let's run that to 1 Peter. Okay, if we look at the Bible doctrinally and dispensationally, when we get to Hebrews, we're jumping things into the future. Things are generally prophetic. Yes, we can get some good instruction out of it. And here's a good example of instruction out of it. We're here, Peter, almost 2,000 years ago, is warning us of our day, or people of the tribulation, don't be concerned with the word terror. Don't let that scare you. 1 Peter 3, verse 14. Because that's how you control people, is by fear. The news media is constantly fear-mongering. So he says in 1 Peter 3, verse 14, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and so forth. You see, and so that's what the news industry is designed to do. It's designed to create fear. Because you control that people, and then they promote their deception. Okay, and that's how they manipulate people. That's why they call it media, medium, or programming. So that's the intended of it. And then if you're still in 1 Peter 3, jump to chapter 4. And it says in verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. That's what the media does. Constantly busy about the body of other people that they want to either exalt or destroy. That's their intent. I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense for these bureaucrats, okay, to be complaining if during, I think it was during the Clinton administration, it was basically forget about his immorality, it's the economy, stupid. Remember that? I think the campaign slogan was that? They talked about the economy. Okay, if that was their slogan for the Democrats, what about today? The lowest unemployment rate in history for blacks. Should they not be happy? The lowest unemployment rate in 50-some years. If it's the economy, stupid, I would think they'd be happy. Besides, they get more tax money so the parasites can live off the productive. But it don't work that way. Okay, and so he says, be not afraid of their terror. This is a constant fear in America. All these either manipulated gun shootings or faked gun shootings. I don't know where you want to go with it. It's just constantly trying to destroy our culture. And that's why the professional athletes have the liberty to mock and criticize our culture, but they won't say boo about China. Hillary was bragging about China years ago. Oh, if you like it so much, I'll buy the one-way ticket. Oh, equality. Yeah, they're all equally poor except the ones in the governance structures. So he says in Ezekiel 26, verse 20, I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Amen and amen. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. So when he says that, that might jump, and some of this might be an immediate prophecy, and some of it might be second coming prophecy, and some of it might jump to the great white throne prophecy. When he says no more, that seems to be jumping on us clear. And the reason why the Bible does this is because history repeats itself. And so God will throw something in the immediate prophecy, maybe a couple thousand years later, maybe 3,000 years later. And so we just kind of read it, figure it out, and then just thank God and go back to saying, boy, our God is powerful. And he's just letting it ride and just waiting his time. And we definitely want to be on his bandwagon. So, okay, that's chapter 26. Any questions or comments?